This will be Monologues from A Comedy of Errors by William Shakespeare. WilliamShakespeare.org, and I'll be doing them as listed in the order on their website. First, Aegean, Act 1.
A heavier task could not have been imposed than I to speak my griefs unspeakable. Yet, that the world may witness that my end was wrought by nature, not by vile offense, I'll utter what my sorrows give me leave. In Syracusa was I born, and wed unto a woman, happy but for me, and by me too, had not her hap been bad. With her I lived in joy, our wealth increased by prosperous voyages I often made to Epidamnum, to my factor's death, and the great care of goods at random left drew me from kind embracements of my spouse, from whom my absence was not 6 months old before herself, almost at fainting under the pleasing punishment that women bear, had made provision for her following me, and soon and safe arrived where I was. There had she not been long, but she became a joyful mother of 2 goodly sons, and, which was strange, the one so like the other as could not be distinguished but by names. That very hour, and in the self-same inn, a meaner woman was delivered of such a burden, male twins both alike. Those, for their parents were exceeding poor, I bought, and brought up to attend my sons. My wife, not meanly proud of 2 such boys, made daily motions for our home return. Unwilling, I agreed. Alas, too soon we came aboard. A league from Epidamnum had we sailed before the always window being deep gave any tragic instance of our harm. But longer did we not retain much hope, for what obscured light the heavens did grant did but convey unto our fearful minds a doubtful warrant of immediate death, which, though myself would gladly have embraced, yet the incessant weepings of my wife, weeping before what she saw must come, and piteous plainings of the pretty babes that mourned for fashion, ignorant what to fear, forced me to seek delays for them and me. And this it was, for other means was none. The sailors sought for safety by our boat, and left the ship, then sinking ripe, to us. My wife, more careful for the latter born, had fastened him unto a small spare mast, such as seafaring men provide for storms. To him one of the other twins was bound, whilst I had been like heedful of the other. The children thus disposed, my wife and I, fixing our eyes on whom our care was fixed, fastened ourselves at either end the mast, and floating straight, obedient to the stream, were carried towards Corinth, as we thought. At length the sun, gazing upon the earth, dispersed those vapors that offended us, and by the benefit of his wished light, the seas waxed calm, and we discovered 2 ships from afar, making amain to us, of Corinth that, of Epidaurus this, but ere they came. Oh, let me say no more. Gather the sequel by what went before. Oh, had the gods done so, I had not now worthily turned them merciless to us. For ere the ships could meet by 2x5 leagues, we were encountered by a mighty rock, which being violently borne upon, our helpful ship was splitted in the midst. So that, in this unjust divorce of us, fortune had left to both of us alike what to delight in, what to sorrow for. Her part, poor soul, seeming as burdened with lesser weight, but not with lesser woe, was carried with more speed before the wind, and in our sight they 3 were taken up by fishermen of Corinth, as we thought. At length, another ship had seized on us, and, knowing whom it was their hap to save, gave healthful welcome to their shipwrecked guests, and would have reft the fishers of their prey, had not their bark been very slow of sail. And therefore homeward did they bend their course. Thus have you heard me severed from my bliss, that by misfortune was my life prolonged to tell sad stories of my own mishaps.
Next, Balthazar, Act 3.
Have patience, sir. Oh, let it not be so. Herein you war against your reputation.
and draw within the compass of suspect the unviolated honor of your wife. Once this, your long experience of her wisdom, her sober virtue, years and modesty, plead on her part some cause to you unknown. And doubt not, sir, but she will well excuse why at this time the doors are made against you. Be ruled by me, depart in patience, and let us to the Tiger all to dinner. And about evening, come yourself alone to know the reason of this strange restraint. If by strong hand you offer to break in now, in the stirring passage of the day, a vulgar comment will be made of it, and that supposed by the common rout against your yet ungalled estimation, that may with foul intrusion enter in and dwell upon your grave when you are dead. For slander lives upon succession, for ever housed where it gets possession.
Next. Antiphilus of Ephesus. My liege, I am advised what I say, neither disturbed with the effect of wine, nor heady rash provoked with raging ire, albeit my wrongs might make one wiser mad. This woman locks me out this day from dinner. That goldsmith there, were he not packed with her, could witness it, for he was with me then, who parted with me to go fetch a chain, promising to bring it to the Porpentine, where Balthazar and I did dine together. Our dinner done, and he not coming thither, I went to seek him. In the street I met him, and in his company, that gentleman. Where did this perjured goldsmith swear me down that I this day of him received the chain, which, God he knows, I saw not, for the which he did arrest me with an officer. I did obey, and sent my peasant home for certain ducats. He with none returned. Then fairly I bespoke the officer to go in person with me to my house. By the way, we met my wife, her sister, and a rabble more of vile confederates. Along with them, they brought one Pinch, a hungry, lean-faced villain, a mere anatomy, a mountebank, a threadbare juggler and a fortune-teller, a needy, hollow-eyed, sharp-looking wretch, a living dead man. This pernicious slave, forsooth, took on him as a conjurer, and, gazing in mine eyes, feeling my pulse, and with no face, as 'twere out-facing me, cries out, I was possessed! Then, altogether, they fell upon me, bound me, bore me thence, and in a dark and dankish vaulted home there left me and my man both bound together, till, gnawing with my teeth my bonds in sunder, I gained my freedom, and immediately ran hither to your grace, whom I beseech to give me ample satisfaction for these deep shames and great indignities. Next, the Duke. Act 1. Merchant of Syracusa, plead no more. I am not partial to infringe our laws. The enmity and discord which of late sprung from the rancorous outrage of your duke to merchants, our well-dealing countrymen, who, wanting guilders to redeem their lives, have sealed his rigorous statutes with their bloods, excludes all pity from our threatening looks. For, since the mortal and intestine jars twixt thy seditious countrymen and us, it hath in solemn synods been decreed, both by the Syracusans and ourselves, to admit no traffic to our adverse towns. Nay more, if any born at Ephesus be seen at Syracusan marts and fairs. Again, if any Syracusan born come to the bay of Ephesus, he dies. His goods confiscate, to the duke's dispose, unless 1,000 marks be levied, to quit the penalty and to ransom him. Thy substance, valued at the highest rate, cannot amount unto 100 marks. Therefore, by law thou art condemned to die. Next, and lastly, Antiphilus of Syracusa.
Sweet mistress, what your name is else I know not, nor by what wonder you do hit of mine. Less in your knowledge and your grace you show not than our earth's wonder, more than earth divine. Teach me, dear creature, how to think and speak,
lay open to my earthy gross conceit. Smothered in errors, feeble, shallow, weak, the folded meaning of your words' deceit. Against my soul's pure truth, why labor you to make it wander in an unknown field? Are you a god? Will you create me new? Transform me, then, and to your power I'll yield. But if that I am I, then well I know your weeping sister is no wife of mine. Nor to her bed no homage do I owe. Far more, to you do I decline. Oh, train me not, sweet mermaid, with thy notes to drown me in thy sister's flood of tears. Sing, siren, for thyself, and I will dote. Spread o'er the silver waves thy golden hairs, and as a bed I'll take them and their lie. And, in that glorious supposition, think he gains by death that hath such means to die. Let love, being light, be drowned if she sink.
Thank you.